Good morning and welcome to Local Matters. This is Ben Rogers. I have the pleasure again, 2 weeks in a row, to visit with Caitlin Salyer and Allison Boshears from the Cookeville Putnam County Chamber. They were with me last week. We didn't get through half of what we were supposed to get through. That's my fault because I keep asking questions that I don't have listed, and that's okay. That's why we're here. We like to learn. We like to find out what these ladies are doing. They're fantastic. You got to listen last week. If you didn't get to listen last week, you missed out on some good information. We can do a little recap if we had time, but there's so many things we want to get to. I hope you've had a good week so far. We're back to spring weather, so hopefully we'll continue on that upswing. Ladies, how are you this morning?
Doing okay.
You're not right in your mind to come with me 2 weeks in a row. I can tell you that.
You're not right in your mind for letting me come back.
That's true.
I listened. I got to listen. It was a great show. Y'all were fantastic. And I'm delighted to have you on again. And we need to schedule like something every 3 to 4 months just to keep me updated on what's going on. But there's things that I wanted to get to Friday. I did not get to it's been a week. So I've had a lot of time to think about some other stuff. So hopefully we'll get through it. But one thing I mentioned we were talking about was recruiting, and we did not get to that. And I know y'all play a small part in that, but the chamber, that's a big part of the chamber that, you know, they promote businesses around here, and they also are recruiting with the Highlands Economic Partnership and Steven, he does a great job. There's so many team members in that. So Caitlin, I'll start with you. What is your role in recruiting businesses and industry?
Okay. So, I will kind of work on that effort as Steven and Yvonne Pickering, who are both in the economic development sector, need me. But one of the primary functions that I will play is if a business is looking to either expand or move to the area, we may put together packets of information that detail quality of life, but also our education programs. So I think last time I brought up SAIC as an example of a way that we plugged in with them as they were looking to move to the area. We will show what programs are existing at the K-12 level all the way through post-secondary. And then if there's areas where we can bring them together with, bring the employer together at the table with our education partners, talk through what are possibilities for the future, let them know that they're going to have a role in shaping curriculum moving forward, if at all possible. And so just kind of tying in that existing piece with what could potentially change over time based on their needs.
Should I ask you this probably last week as well? You know, we're the chamber, and I say we, and I say that because I'm on the board now, and I still.
This is our boss.
Yeah, so it's. Our boss. I'm not anybody's boss in any part of my life. I'm not anybody's boss ever. So I guess when we're recruiting, of course, we got to keep so much private.
Right.
You know, we project whatever, and we name it a project, and it has nothing really to do with what the actual industry is. But your workforce development, and I've always wanted to ask you this too, so this is a new question, but we're recruiting. I imagine Steven says, hey, any updates on what our workforce is available? We got to give a report to this industry. Does Steven already know that by talking to you all the time? I guess he's probably really caught up on what our workforce is available, because we talked Friday last week that a lot of people have in counties around here have a hard time filling positions because of so many factors. And one of those is basically passing drug test.
Right.
So is he, I'm assuming he's asking you, hey, this industry's coming here. What's our workforce look like?
He does. And we keep track of that data. Now he actually has, access to, there's like Esri and MZ, and there's all these different kinds of software that will track workforce data.
Okay.
And so he has access to that. And then I actually will go through him sometimes to access some of that information. But yes, we talk constantly, and depending on what the needs are of that particular employer, as much detail as he can share with me, and then I'll know how to respond and give him the data that he needs.
Gotcha. I didn't know that. I think that's great. And so we talked about the challenges of that. I know y'all working hard. You and I actually need to talk about some stuff going forward that maybe we can help about providing more workforce there, and we won't get into that on this show because I'll have that as another show later on. Allison, any kind of role with recruiting? I mean,
I don't play a huge role, but I will say our organization, I mean, other than, you know, more of an external look at kind of what our organization looks like and really what our town looks like and what our community looks like and how involved they are and how welcoming they are, just kind of showcasing that from a personal perspective. But one thing that our organization does that I didn't even realize we did among a plethora of things when I got this job was anybody from Amy to Molly, that's Amy New, and then Molly Brown, Stephen Crook, all of them are also involved in physician tours, which are, you know, when the hospitals, DRMC has a need for, say, I mean, a certain type of doctor, sure, and they're having people come in. Our staff actually takes a pretty huge role in taking them around. Say they have young children, they show them different school systems, or they show them different, you know, they have some help from local realtors to show them different places that they could either build or buy. I mean, and so the amount of assistance I think our organization provides, because the CRMC does so much and they hire so many people, so many impressive talents coming in. Just the fact that we can play a part in that and just make them feel welcome, yeah, and make them feel excited, yeah, to come here is one thing we do, which I thought was really awesome.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
That's
either.
Wonderful. So, of course, the hospital's doing the advertising of the position, I'm sure, and doing active recruiting, but they're using you all as a recruiter, basically, mm-hmm, like a athlete going to college.
Right.
You're showing around. You're giving them, right, the mm-hmm, spiel. That's really good. Do other businesses do that? That's part of the chamber, that are members of the chamber? Would they reach out to y'all for?
Now, I know some industries have reached out.
For showing people around?
It's a pretty substantial, you know, we do most of it, I guess I should say, through with CRMC. But whenever, I know that other industries have reached out. And when they have a need, we definitely, and you know, then that's not for every position. But these big positions that are maybe coming from, you know, Kansas or wherever, that really don't know very much about Cookeville, are getting a pretty intimate, you know, experience being shown around. So yeah, really it goes whoever has that need.
Yeah.
And we've done those with professors or people at the at Tennessee Tech that they're looking to hire. And to that point, you know, when we can't do that with every position that's being recruited here, but we put together packets. I know Allison has helped with, you know, graphics or things that beyond even just workforce and education information, it details that quality of life piece so that we can kind of, and we can tailor that depending on what, you know, level they're trying to recruit, what that person's interest, are they a family, mm-hmm, is it a single person? So we can do a lot with that.
Wow, that's good information. And I was going to save this for last, but I want to ask it now. You, of course, y'all both went to Tech. We talked about that last week, and y'all stayed here. You know, you love the community. So, and I asked this several times with guests here. You know, what do you love about our community? Caitlin, what do you love about our community?
A lot. I made a joke because we had been emailing back and forth about what we were going to talk about, and I put food.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, so when I think about two big reasons why I love the community, one, just the outdoorsy aspect. I love how we're centrally located with all of these cool hiking spots. The atmosphere in the around this region is really cool when it comes to outdoor activity. But I think the primary reason, we are a very giving community, mm-hmm, and I feel like this may sound kind of cheesy, but we're almost like a family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things aren't always perfect, but when there's a time, like I look back when the tragedy of that tornado, everyone was all hands on deck.
Yep.
We care about our people. It's easy to get involved. It may seem overwhelming. If you move here, you may not know where to go, but you find that one person that can get you plugged in and you are plugged in.
Right.
And so you feel like you can make an impact. You have a voice, and it's wanted. And so I love that aspect about our community.
Nice. Does she steal all your answers?
Yeah. She actually took my paper. And
I've been reading off her notes.
Yeah. As per usual, just kidding.
Yeah.
Are you asking me this?
Yeah, sure.
I think there's a lot of things. When I moved here 10 years ago, I think I said this last week, but I always thought I'd move back home, mm-hmm, because, you know, that's what you do, is you go to school and then you go back home. But I was just really lucky. I mean, I had a really great start in athletics and I loved my job and it made it so much fun to go to work. And then that kept going through the chamber, and I never wanted to live somewhere that I didn't feel safe. And so, you know, and everybody, and I, like, kind of like Caitlin said when she read off my notes, everything, people are so much a family. Like, I have a whole second family here that I just met organically through work. So I'm just really lucky to have that. And I will say, you know, one thing is I love about this town is one time I like to run. So one time I was on a run, and it started to pour the rain. I mean, not like a sprinkle, because, like, I'm a wimp, but I'm not that much of a wimp. Like, I can run through a sprinkle. I mean, it was like a torrential downpour. And this man stopped, and, you know, I listen to murder podcasts, so I know how this goes.
Right.
So I was like, no, I'm fine. And he's like, no, because he was close to my house. And he said, you should tell me what street to drop you off. He said, I'm going to call my wife and talk to her the whole time so you feel safe, but I want to get you out of this. I mean, because it was like sheets of rain. I mean, So that was awesome. And then another time I was running, this puts me under the guise that I run all the time. I did not. It just happened when I was running. I was running in more of a shady area. Not shady, but there were trees around, sure. I should say. And so I was
actually shade.
Yeah. Shady. Yeah. There aren't many shady areas, but actual shade. And, I am hyper vigilant when I run because it just makes me nervous. But I was running and this car was slow behind me. And I kind of looked over my shoulder and I saw it was a man and another truck had just passed me. And then this car was kind of behind me. And so the guy kind of pulled up and he turned around. And he rolled down his window and he said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm just lost. I don't know where I'm going." And he drove away. And then when I kept running, I got to the end of the street and this other truck had stopped that had passed me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a man and his wife. And he said, "We were just watching you until you came out of the trees to make sure that you were okay. Cause we saw that guy slowing down behind you."
Right.
And if that's not a testament to people just taking care of each other, like, I don't know what is. So
yeah, that's actually perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe the community.
I mean, because I'm a complete stranger to these people, but they just
sure.
made sure I was all right.
Yeah. Well, that's great information. And I ask you those questions because for maybe those that haven't been here long and they're, mm-hmm. you know, they're wanting to know more about our community, I think this is one of the reasons StoneCom has shows like this is we're talking about our community, how wonderful it is. But I ask you all that because if you're still here, and you've been here, you've got a passion to be here, mm-hmm. and you're going to sell that, and you're going to use that to help people at the chamber. And that's why I asked that. So there it goes, firsthand information. We got one segment down. We're going to come back with another one here in just a moment on Local Matters. This is Ben Rogers with Allison Beauchears and Caitlin Sawyer. First time I said Sawyer.
Hey, you're good.
In 2 weeks, it's Sawyer. And so we'll be back in just a moment.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to the next segment of Local Matters. This has been Rogers. I'm continuing with Allison Beauchears and Caitlin Sawyer. Not Sawyer, Sawyer. And so we were talking.
I'll say Sawyer. Have I been saying it wrong?
I don't know, but I'll pay attention now.
See, I asked you. I asked. If I don't, of course, I didn't ask you. I figure your
fly by the hip.
Your last name is pretty obvious, unless it's French for some reason, pronunciation or some kind of crazy. I figure it's pretty obvious. But they call you Bo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody call you Allison?
You know what's sad is the reason I got called Bo, I guess this isn't sad, but the reason I got called Bo is I came up here, I was Allison my whole life. I don't even like you to call me Allie. Like I
hadn't thought about
nobody calls me Allie.
Okay.
So I was always Allison, and then I got to college, and so I joined a sorority up here, and in my pledge class, we had 3 Allisons, and in our sorority, we had 5. So everybody was named Allison. And so the pledge director at the time just started calling me Bo. And now, I kid you not, no one in this town calls me Allison. Nobody. My parents don't even call me Allison anymore.
They
heard
Bo?
So many people call me Bo.
So I'm the only one because I've called you Allison for 2 weeks.
You can call me Allison.
Well, so the first time I met you was at the golf tournament last year.
Uh-huh.
And Molly said, "Hey, you need to go meet Bo. She's on the first tee."
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going up with my crew.
Looking for a guy.
I'm like, I don't think Molly's, she's something wrong with her this morning. There's nobody out here. And then you were near, and then you come over and like, "Hey, I'm Allison Beauchears." I'm like,
there we go.
That's Bo. So we were talking about the love for the community and why y'all love it. And of course, I'm a little bit different than y'all. I've been here 3 out of 40 years. I've been here 37 years. I worked in Nashville for a while, but you know, I was ingrained in here and Baxter and Cookeville, went to Tech and loved it. I don't ever want to be anywhere else. You know, it's just, to me, it's home. It's always going to be home. I met a gentleman at the state tournaments for the, not the one we did at Tech, but the one at Murfreesboro for basketball. And he's, of course, I'm an Upperman grad. Mm-hmm. We were in the boys were in the semifinals, and we lost that day. And this gentleman from Jackson stopped me and said, man, y'all got a really good team. Where are you from? I said, well, we're actually near Cookeville. Most of the time, I'll just say Baxter because I'm so proud mm-hmm. of Baxter. And we don't get enough recognition. But I said, we're near Cookeville in a small town called Baxter. He goes, oh, yeah, I come to the Division II, the private school mm-hmm. state championships. He said, y'all are fantastic. I know, you know, that's what we do, you know. So we talked a little bit, but he, you know, it's just stuff like that. But the story right quick I'll tell, and we'll get back into some stuff. You were talking about running, Bo. And, you know, a gentleman asked, you know, was trying to help you out of the rain. So a few years ago, I'm at Kroger getting gasoline, and this lady comes up and says, can I have some money? I need to fill my tank up. And I'm like, well, why don't I just fill your tank up for you since you're here? She didn't have a car. So I said, well, where are you at? Where's your car? She said, well, it's one of the hotels. And so I try to help people all the time. And it's one of those things where if the good Lord is tapping on my heart to mm-hmm. help somebody, I'll do it. I 100% do it. And so he was tapping on my heart, but I still wasn't certain. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, I'll tell you what, let me buy a gas can. I'll fill it up with gas. I'll take you to your car, and then we'll fill your car up, and I'll give you a little bit more money to fill it up on your way out. She said, okay. She didn't argue with me.
Right.
So I knew then that she really needed some gas street, money. Right. Yeah. But so I didn't scare her, like you said, a murderer or somebody that was with bad intentions. I picked up my cell phone, and I called my wife. I said, honey, I'm going to get this lady some gas. I'm going to take her to her car. If she kills me, you don't hear from me in 10 minutes, she's killed me. And I did it right in front of her. She started laughing. So that way she knew I didn't have any bad intentions. And actually, my wife knew where I was at. So I know how that is.
Well, the tides could roll. It could be her. It could be the murderer.
Yeah.
Got to think about it.
It could be. You never know these days. So one thing that has intrigued me about both of your roles is how, of course, it's so big. The impact y'all have is so big. But especially with you, Allison, Bo, your communication side, you know, you do so much for the chamber. Have you ever had a member of the chamber of business or another business for that matter reach out to you and ask for help on their communication side, their social media, their website or anything? Has that ever happened?
Yeah. All the time, but that is really what we're here to do.
So that's really part of your role. You're not only promoting and communicating for the chamber, you're part of promoting for everybody else.
Right. And, you know, I can't do social media for everybody, but if people have individual questions, we're actually starting right now trying to get more of a, like, tiered understanding of social media workshop going. So, like, there would be three tiers. So if you're a social media novice, there are a ton of free resources out there for you to use for your business.
That's good.
And so getting that – so people can just – even if they can't afford to pay a social media person or even a social media marketing company to do it every month – they can at least do it for themselves, at least notify their patrons when they'll be open or closed.
Nice.
So that happens a lot. I love writing a lot more than I enjoy social media. So I like social media, but I really like to write. That was what my background is. My pretty much everyone in my family was an English teacher on my mom's side. So I really like writing. So I actually get that a lot more. It's just, you know, will you proofread this? You know, I'm releasing this. And I'm always happy to do that. I love doing it.
Were you the person at Tech or in college, were you, people paid you to review their paper and proofread it?
I never got paid, so maybe I wasn't that good. But I did, I proofread a lot. My mom works in government, so I read a lot of her.
There you go. So. Well, I actually, and I got a friend that listens to this show, or he used to anyway, and so he's going to hear this and he's going to die laughing. Our senior year at Tech, we had a paper due. I'm not going to say which class, which professor. I'm not even going to name the guy because I don't know if the statute of limitations is over. Yeah. So he actually had not started on his paper. It was due the next day, but he was going to the library to and it's like a 15 page paper. He was going to the library to write it and he had appendicitis. So went straight to the hospital, had his appendix taken out. He's out of it. He's calling me. His girlfriend's calling me. She's taking care of him. She don't really have time. He's like, can you write my paper? And I wrote his paper that night, 15 pages. And so anyway.
You couldn't send an excuse in? Teachers are getting more and more strict.
Apparently not, because I told him that, and I think he had called the professor, and the professor said no. So I don't know. But yeah. But I'm not a good writer. I'm not saying that. I'm terrible. So I'm going to start my master's later this year. I might need you to proofread some stuff.
Okay.
So, all right. We, you know, there's so much more we got to talk about, and I'm talking about stuff, but what's part of one of the success? We're going to start with one success each since you've been here, Caitlin. What's something you feel like you've just, you it was a goal you set and you achieved it? Ooh. Tough question, ain't it?
It's a tough question. Actually, that was one where when you sent the email, and I was like, what are some successes?
Because you don't like talking about yourself, I'm sure.
No, not really.
But she's best friends with me, so yeah. I don't understand.
Yeah.
It's tough. You know, I think I came into such a strong team that had some really awesome programs in place. And I would say, just kind of big picture, learning more about workforce, this was not really what my background was. And so coming in and learning from Lillian and the team at the chamber and figuring out, you know, how to progress this work. But I would say, and I can't claim this as my own, because there was a team of people that launched our YP Highlands program. But that's been one of the coolest things that I've loved really working on, that's been new since I started. And that's our Young Professionals program, because, you know, you have people in our community that are retiring, and you want to be able to recruit and retain and develop young talent here. I mean, Allison and I, that's what happened with us. We fell in love with the community. We got jobs, we got plugged in, and now it's home.
Right.
And so, you know, through YP Highlands, it's kind of addressing that next step. You've got them in the middle school. You're telling them about the jobs. You're telling them they're, you know, if you want this job, this is the path in education you need to take. But how are we keeping them here?
Right.
And so we actually, last year too, we launched a YP Highlands. It's called Highlands YP at Tech. So Tennessee Tech actually has now a student organization.
Oh, wow.
So we're going to get plugged in with them earlier. And we're hoping that's a new avenue of keeping workforce here too. So I love, and I love the program, but you know, we kind of got off track last year with everything going on with the pandemic, but I think we're going to try to inch back into having some in-person professional development, opportunities and networking later on this year.
Nice. When we come back, I want to ask how somebody can be a part of the YP.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can tell us. All right. We finished our second segment. We got one more to go with these ladies. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Local Matters, our last segment this Friday morning. This has been Rogers with Caitlin Salyer and Allison Bo Shears, otherwise known as Bo, even by her parents now. And they've been wonderful, and I just, you know, probably need more time, but we'll have them back on in a few months. So we're talking about YP Highlands. Caitlin, you were. So how does somebody become a part of that program?
It is very easy.
Good.
Just show up.
Just show up, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. When we launched it in 2019, right now there are no dues associated with it, because we want everyone to have access. And so it's ages, and we're a little loose with the ages because it is so much fun, and we're like, the more the merrier. But it started out 21 to 40, and then we inched it up to 45.
Oh, so I can join.
You can absolutely join. Right. You're in. You're in.
Cool. We did that in high hopes you would join.
Yeah.
We did it specifically for you, actually.
People will leave if I start joining. So just show up and...
Just show up. So if you... we have an Instagram, a Twitter, and a Facebook. We also have a newsletter that will go out as events are coming up. Of course, you know, we've not really had many lately with the pandemic. But if you follow us now, I think... towards the fall, maybe late summer, early fall, we'll start to have some of those events again. And our three pillars are professional development, networking, and community outreach, so volunteering.
Okay, good. Let's talk about another program that was really popular and kind of come to an abrupt halt with COVID, Leadership Putnam. Mm-hmm. Can y'all give me an update on that?
Well, what I do know is, so when last year, I think they halted their events, and then I think they're going to do is, so from where they stopped, which is I think around November maybe, they are taking last year's class and combining it with this year's class.
Okay.
So the classes will be a little larger. I think they're trying to decide if they're going to split those up just due to COVID restrictions and kind of how we want to keep people safe. But it's looking better and better. So it is coming back. So it's a really awesome program. One thing I learned, that a ton of leaders in town went through Leadership Putnam.
Yeah.
So it is back. I believe it'll start just like normal in around September. So
Jeannie has left us, but I told her when she was on my show back in the fall that I would do that at some point. But I probably need to get through my master's first, but
done it, Ben?
You need to. It's amazing.
I've went through two leadership things now through UT. And, you know, and that was pretty intense, actually. It was a lot of travel, and it was good. It was wonderful. There's nothing negative about those leadership classes I went through, but it was intense work. And Jenny said, this is some stuff, but you know,
right.
And we did a capstone, with our first one. We did a capstone for, we did an employee assistance program or employee assistance fund through our agencies, where if we have an employee that's in dire need of some financial assistance, you know, we've got something set up for them. And part of the agreement with my class was we all give so much money to have the startup money. And our VP said he would match it.
Wow.
So we did. And so we had, you know, that was something that people think, well, that's kind of easy. Well, no, it really wasn't easy. We had to go do a presentation to UT and the chief financial officer of the system and get this approved. So that was a big deal for us. And then the other one was, the other program I went through was, we did an inmate, workforce development, which is something you and I are going to talk about sometime, for inmates, reentry for inmates. So it's pretty extensive, but I want to do this one too, because I
want
to be a
part of that. Ours is more so you do have a group project, that you work with, I think, three or four other people on, right? Caitlin's been through it, but, so I think that's the only like real intensive, you know, work you have to do, but it's just one day a month.
Yeah.
So,
that's not bad at all.
It's not.
I hadn't forgot about your successes, so you're not getting off.
That's fine.
Allison, what's something that when you've started out, which you're over here a little over a year.
Right at a year.
Is there something when you started you've already accomplished or one of your goals?
I will say this about Caitlin. She is, and I'm not just saying this because we're friends, she is super humble, but she is always working. She's that person that has the office that everyone wants to go to talk to, and she's just always busy, and she always, you know, probably wants us to leave, but never makes us leave.
Because everybody wants to talk to her.
Yeah, everybody wants to talk to her. Yeah. So, I will say that about her. She is constantly working. She didn't highlight all the things she does, but, one thing that I always, and I said this last week, that we really needed to work on was clarifying our message. Things like physician tours that we do, things like, you know, ribbon cuttings. We're just getting people, you know, a little bit of, you know, publicity, you know, working with people to be a resource, an ever-present resource. All those things that we're doing, I really want to showcase that, because when people have confidence in what you're doing, one, they're more likely to come to you when there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to suffer in silence. So the businesses don't get lost to financial issues, or they didn't get this, you know, grant money or whatever. They know they can come to you because you help. So I really wanted to highlight that. And I think we've done a pretty good job of that. I luckily have people like Caitlin, like Natasha, that have a social mind. So they help me a lot in those areas. But I think probably that was my biggest thing that we've done. And I think we have done a better job. You know, I talked about last week, meeting people where they are, having people understand everything we're doing and knowing that they can come to us and we can help them. And we're lucky that we work for Amy, because she is a can-do person. She is a yes person. You know,
right.
If people need help and they come to Amy, she either gets them the resource they need directly, or she gets them in touch with one of us to help them. So I think not only having a leader that finds that super, super important, but also supporting us when we want to work on those things.
Yep.
So highlighting that, and we have a really great staff at the chamber. So, and that's a really great part of my job, is just getting to highlight them and their work. So, I mean, I think that's a success, really, just highlighting all the success that they've already had. So,
well, you first of all, you both are humble. You probably wouldn't be here. I don't usually have arrogant people on my show. I like to have good people that care about the community. But again, you know, and you mentioned some leadership qualities there with Amy, and it goes with all of you at the chamber that I've seen. A lot of leadership is being humble but confident in your skills.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of leadership is making things happen, whether you remove roadblocks or find somebody else to help you remove that roadblock for your employees and let them get to where they need to be or want to be, mm-hmm. and have success. Because you got to find out what fuels them, and then you got to find out how they want to be successful. Because success is not the same for everybody.
Right.
There's no way. If it was, then nobody would be successful. It'd be a few people. Success can come in so many different forms. And so, you find a way to get your people to be successful and help them. So that's a true leader to me. I love it. We talked about some accomplishments. Caitlin, what are some things you want to see be accomplished going forward from your part of workforce development?
That's another really good question. I want to always be innovative, and I always want us to be thinking about that, you know, where we are now, but not just – don't just stay where you are. Think about that next big event, that next big program you want to launch. Be leaders and don't be afraid to be leaders if that means pushing boundaries a little, having tough conversations, and just doing what's best for our community. I think that last year was very eye-opening. I will be honest, it was a really difficult time to kind of step into the director position for workforce. Losing Lillian was hard. I loved working with her. She was phenomenal. And I love working with Stephen as well, but he's very, you know, focused on economic development and helps me when he can. But it gave me some time to kind of think, and we're doing what we're doing very well, but what does that look like in the future?
Right.
And so I think that's the mindset I'm in right now as we start to kind of get back in person and there's opportunity to start new things. To Bo's point about Amy having the can-do attitude, you know, we'll get to sit down with her sometimes and bounce ideas and say, hey, what do you think about this? And she'll say, yeah, or no, but, you know, let's look at it from this angle. And so I'm just excited to see what our group as a whole can kind of accomplish moving forward.
Yeah, that's great. Allison?
Well, one thing I want us to do more of is, when I lived in Nashville for a very short period of time, I mean, very short, I practically ran back here, but
me too.
But they had a really good resource of, I mean, working is great, and I love to have a job, and I, you know, I love to work. I have two jobs. I love working, but at some point, you want to have some fun. I mean, you want to go to a trivia night, or you want to go to this food truck, you know, or you want to do something fun. But right now, if people, with the exception of Visit Cookeville, which is a website, locally, and unless you think of that, there is no, like, something that local people immediately think of.
Right.
So I want us to become more inclusive. Working with Visit Cookeville, we already do a great job of that partnership, but also, you know, under the chamber, becoming kind of a resource for fun. You know, highlighting, yeah, these businesses do great work, but they also have these available for your family or available for a night out. And just showing people, you know, people always used to say when I came to Tennessee Tech is a suitcase campus. Well, that's not the case anymore.
Right.
I mean, people stay through the weekend all the time, and there is a ton of stuff to do. But right now, I mean, where do you go? I mean, think about it off the top of your head. Where do you go to figure out where all those resources are?
It's true.
I will say right now, Visit Cookeville is a great place to go. But I want us as the chamber to be more, you know, highlight those fun activities.
Right.
Because the Upper Cumberland has so much to offer.
Yeah.
I mean, so much to offer. I'm lucky I've made friends with Caitlin and Molly and Yvonne, because they know everything about all these places. So I've been able to piggyback on them. But I think that is one thing I really want us as a communications department to go deeper in, is look at all the fun stuff going on. Look at all these hikes you can go on, or outdoor activities, or something you can go watch, and just kind of highlighting those to our audience more.
Yeah, that's great. Y'all been wonderful.
Thank you
so much for being here. I'm going to thank Amy New as well for letting y'all come. And, you know, I hope she didn't force you. I hope y'all actually wanted to come on your own. If she did force you, I'm going to thank her anyway. But y'all been wonderful. Great information. Right quick, we had the headshot event. Is there any other events coming up? Is there?
Yes. So we have.
Skeet shoot. Is that what it is?
Clay shoot's coming up on Friday, April 9th. And then we have a golf tournament, coming up. It's in May. We have a lot going on, so I really encourage people to look at our Facebook. We're constantly promoting those things on there, and also feel free to just call our front office. She probably does not get highlighted enough. Our front desk, her name's April Maynard. She is a godsend.
She's wonderful. Mm-hmm.
So people that have ever met her, she's another great person for a resource. So if you ever want any information, she will get you the right people.
Awesome. So. All right. Thank y'all. Again, enjoyed your time, my time with you, and thank you for giving me that time. If you need anything, let me know. I'm just a call away. Everybody, thank you for listening. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. Remember to be kind to one another. Be like these ladies. They're brilliant, kind-hearted servants, true servants from their own hearts, and they do a wonderful job for our community, and I'm so thankful to have them here. Hope you have a good weekend. We'll see you next week.